You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, the podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This is part 5 of Unmagical Boy Story. 11 PM. Second set contains new material. Don't feed the trolls. Viola had often wondered what sort of person she might be if her mother had lived. Sweeter, perhaps. Softer, certainly. Her mother loved butterflies. Viola's strongest childhood memory was the taste of her mother's magic and the colour of butterflies dancing around them in the garden. When Lifen Vale died, it was as if all the colour went out of the world. She wasn't all about beauty and brightness. Lifen had taught her daughter to defend herself in combat, both magical and unmagical. She had taught her how to cook dishes from China, even though neither of them were likely to ever live in a house without a live-in chef and housekeeper. She had taught her never to expect love or attention or pride from her father, or to blame herself for that. One of the worst thoughts Viola had ever entertained was that her mother's butterflies and bright-coloured magic might have vanished even if she had survived her illness. If she had lived, Lifen would have had 15 more years of being married to Victor Vale, and that was enough to turn anyone cold and grey. When Viola was most brutally honest with herself, she knew. She believed. No, she knew that if her mother had lived past the age of 30, she would have transformed into a creature indistinguishable from Irene Nightshade and Marine Chauvelin, stone-faced witches who lunched with other stone-faced witches and wore designer clothing and knocked back beauty everlasting charms like they were going out of style. Lifen would have become a woman whose greatest achievement in the world was savaging her best friends with subtle, elegant witticisms. Jules's mother was at least entertaining at the theatre and inclined to share celebrity gossip wherever she collected it. Viola almost liked Irene most of the time. But Marine, Chauve's mother, had never quite forgiven Viola for the prank that brought her garden statuary to life and the resulting war between the dragons and the gnomes, which resulted in the destruction of an antique samovar. Their interactions since then had been frostily polite, when Marine had not completely ignored her existence. So last year, when Viola and Jules arrived at the Hex Recovery Ward, only to be swept up in a hug, a genuine hug, by the mother of their best friend, they knew the worst had happened. "Is he dead?" Jules blurted out. "In a way," said Marine Chauvelin, and burst into tears on Viola's shoulder. Worse than dead. That was less than promising. Viola's mother, Lifen, taught her how to use hexes as weapons. She taught her how to use a sword. She taught her how to dazzle her opponent with enchantments and hallucinations, how to get the upper hand. But it was Ferdinand Chauvelin who had taught Viola how to throw a punch, how to shrug and kick her way out of the grip of an attacker, and how anything around you could be a weapon if you thought quickly enough. His younger sister had once been kidnapped for ransom by a family enemy who hired gnolls in magic-repelling armour to grab her. After that, Chauve had dedicated himself to ensuring that the people he cared about were able to protect themselves with or without magic. Jules had taught Viola how to walk away from a confrontation looking unflappable, like nothing had happened. She was excellent at it, but Jules was on another level. Once during first year, he had delivered a prepared talk on the mechanics of raw enchantment while bleeding copiously into a handkerchief after a recent ex responded to the most sarcastic breakup speech of all time by punching him in the nose. Sage McLaren could leave Jules in the dust. He swaggered back on stage and sat down at his drum set like a goddamned hero, ignoring his bruised knuckles and black eye and offering the audience a shit-eating grin. It hadn't been much of a fight, but had he really needed to enjoy it quite so much? Viola sat back at the table, knowing that her hair was a lost cause, but at least if she was sitting, no one would notice the tear in the hem of her little black dress, or the hex burn she had received from friendly fire, when her final blast at the attacking troll in the alleyway intersected with a near-identical blast from Sage. She had been right all along. Their magic was as incompatible as their personalities. They would never be friends. Viola sipped at the remains of her drink, now room temperature. As the band started up with one of their noise pollution ditties, "We haven't sung this one in public before. This is a love letter to my sister and the crazy world she lives in." A new song, like that was going to be any better than their old material. She realised that Jules, Chauve and Hebe were all staring at her. "Did you?" said Jules, and then shut his mouth, evidently knowing the inherent risks of mentioning Sage McLaren's name in Viola's company. She was the only one who knew about the crush, and she would throw him under the Pegasus if it became A, necessary to curb his ego, or B, funnier to say something than not say something. Hebe Hallow had no such concerns. "Did you get into a fight with Sage?" she hissed as if she couldn't quite believe it. Viola tidied her hair slightly with her fingers. "Actually, we fought a troll together, and now we're friends for life," she said, infusing it with enough sarcasm that they would never believe the half of the sentence that was true. Chauve snickered behind his hand. Hebe gave him a startled look. Jules attempted not to look like he was imagining Sage and Viola in some kind of catfight over his virtue, and failed. "Okay," said Viola, wincing, as the band played on. "I think if we're going to rescue this evening, someone's going to have to order shots." Thanks for listening. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr as at TansyRR or at SheepMightFly. And if you want to support the podcast and my other online writing projects, check out my Patreon page, www.patreon.com/musketeerspace. See you next week.